Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves, minus our theme music, but that's okay. She's in Raleigh, 2 hours away from Charlotte. I'm in my backyard of L.A. where it's 107. Welcome to Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini and Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, goes by quick. Check out the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic to threes, Danielle. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, there's a lot to talk about in the NFL.
Hi, Mark. I hope everybody's doing great. I am, in fact, yes, I am in Raleigh. I'm actually getting ready for an appearance at GalaxyCon. So if anybody's in the Raleigh area this weekend and you're looking for something fun to do, come and check me out at the Raleigh Convention Center for GalaxyCon this weekend. Actually, starting tomorrow, I will be at the pop-up bookshop signing books, doing cosplay. But, of course, I will definitely talk football to everybody because so much has happened. And I feel like we say it every week, Mark. We're always like, oh, this will be the week where everything calms down before the season. And then I don't know what happens, but the NFL goes, oh, watch this, and gives us something new to report. So let's just jump on into it. First thing is the Saquon Barkley. So we have two things to kind of talk about here. So we all know Saquon originally did not come to a deal with the New York Giants. We did not come to a long-term deal. Everybody was like freaking out, including myself, because he didn't sign the franchise tag, he didn't come to a deal, and the threat was he was going to sit out. Now, I never thought he was going to sit out the season, so let's be clear. I did think he was going to sit out maybe the first two games to prove his worth. Now, over the weekend, all of the major running backs had a big Zoom call to discuss the dissolving of the running back market in the NFL. What should we do? You know, how do we kind of deal with this? Is it the collective bargaining agreement? So this all happened over the weekend. And then, funny enough, on the same day that the Bills lost their running back to a freak water jet ski accident, which we'll get into in a second, Barkley agreed to terms of a one-year contract worth up to $11 million. So basically what it came down to is he agreed to the franchise tag, which was 10 points, you know, change. And then they gave him incentives, which were just under $1 million. So in the end, he can kind of get close to 13, you know, between 12 and 13 if he plays this right. But what he did not agree to, which I find very odd, is he did not say, you can't tag me next year. He left that just open. So we could be back in this exact same position next year with the Giants. And this all happened, like I said, on the exact same day that the Bills lost Hines to a freak jet ski accident. He was parked static. Another jet ski crashed into him, ripped up his ACL. He is out for the season. The interesting factor is here, and guys, that's a little bit of a round way to get to grandma's house, so you got to follow me on this. He was not supposed to be on that jet ski. It's in his contract that this off-field activity is written in that he was not supposed to be doing this. So the Bills could turn around and say that $2.95 million that we still owe you, it's now null and void. We don't owe it. We can cut you loose. So I'm looking at Barkley, and while everybody's saying, oh, Barkley did this because of the love of the game and the love of the Giants, and maybe this wasn't a smart move, and wow, the Giants really did this, and they were talking to him hours after they couldn't come to an agreement. Or this was a very shrewd move on Barkley's part. Because now Barkley, now that he signed the tag and he has the contract, he can be traded. And his representatives can turn around and go to Buffalo and go, so, looks like you're in need of a good running back. What you willing to do for us? And now with the 2.95, that they don't have to pay Hines, Barkley could wind up getting $14 million, which was his number, per year. If the Bills are desperate enough, and we all know the Bills have to make something happen, this could be a very shrewd move. Was it dumb on Barkley's part? Does he really love the Giants and want to be a Giant for life? Or was it very shrewd? Let's not forget, from the day that they didn't come to the agreement, he took the Giants off of social media, threatened to sit out, and said, let them see my worth, and then helped put that Zoom conference call together. And by signing with the Giants, kind of screwed over Josh Jacobs, who, you know, took off out of Vegas because he still doesn't have a deal. So think about it, Mark. This was either a great move on Barkley's representatives, or, yeah, the Giants made out like bandits. Not sure.
Well, and you bring up some interesting points. And, you know, a day after they signed Saquon Barkley, Najee Harris is really expressing frustration in Pittsburgh. You know, he says, they asked me a loan. The game's going to rely on you. You need to do this for the team. You got to do this right now. It's time to close out the game. They lean on you. And it happens in a lot of places. He said Cleveland, Tennessee, even with the Niners. But when they, you know, it's time to pay up, they don't want to pay. They, you know, they just don't want to pay a running back. And this is the big problem. Mm-hmm. We've talked about devalued before. They're trying to, you know, you know, get this position completely out of the NFL. They want to see a quarterback sit in the pocket and, you know, touchdowns and don't want to have a running attack. And I've always said this, Danielle, and, you know, people can say whatever they want. And, yeah, maybe the Chiefs didn't have the running game last year in the Super Bowl, but how many times can you get away winning a Super Bowl without a running game and just relying on a passing attack? It doesn't happen often. And I was on a New York station yesterday, and I told them, I don't care what Patrick Mahomes does in Kansas City. I just, you know, I don't think he is one of the premier quarterbacks, and they can say whatever they want about me, but when I look at a Tom Brady, when I look at a Peyton Manning, when I look at a Dan Fouts, I got to see more of this guy. Yeah, you won a couple Super Bowls, but you've dodged some bullets along the way, my friend. You really have. You beat a Jacksonville team that was coming in off a high, beating the Chargers at home last year. You didn't have to play Buffalo. You got a tired Cincinnati team. You've played four in a row in your backyard on your home field. Let's take the equation and play on the road with four of those games or even half of them. Are you going to win in a hostile environment, Mahomes? So that's the question I got, and people tell me this and that. Well, they didn't know you're running a game. They don't need a running game in Kansas City. Okay, well, you know what? Your Chiefs aren't coming back to the Super Bowl in the next 3 years, my friends. Go look at that AFC. So
I think
that's the running game, and I'm backing up the running attack here. And I'll get to some of these guys coming in here momentarily. But, Danielle, any thought to that?
I think he makes a lot of good points. I mean, when it comes to running backs with KC has done running back by franchise. I mean, who, you know, Raheem Mostert, you know, originally people were like, who? They've kind of picked up a lot of, you know, draft picks that people were like, who is this? What's coming in? You know, gone are the days of the Larry Fitzgerald, you know, Brandon Jacobs. Some of these names are gone now. I mean, even Zeke. We're still sitting here going, where's Zeke going? What's happening with Dalvin Cook? Granted, Dalvin Cook has got some legal issues now that we're dealing with, but we're not looking for names as much. I mean, Bijan coming into the draft, we were, you know, everybody was excited about it. Well, let's see what happens. I think what's going to happen now is we're going to see these running backs coming in the draft. They're going to use them for what they're worth under the collective bargaining agreement, the rookie contracts, and then they're going to be gone. It's not like it used to be where a running back, an Adrian Peterson, was worth the money. I don't think we're going to see it anymore. Also, part of it is because of the mobile quarterback. They're not sitting in the pocket. These are not static quarterbacks. There's no Drew Bledsoes. There's nothing that, I mean, we're not seeing a statue anymore. You know, Jalen Hurts, you know, Lamar, these guys take part of that over. You still need a running attack, though, in order to make an RPO happen. So I think the running back has been devalued, and it's not correct. But the contracts have gotten a little out of control from a quarterback. Look at Justin Herbert. He's now being paid more than Lamar. And what has Justin Herbert done? I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Okay, Chargers fans, don't start writing me hate mail. What I'm saying is, what has he done to possibly
earn
as much as Lamar?
Well, let me bring in some of these guys coming across. We've got Dan coming in from Independence, Missouri, first time listener on the show, and he's basically saying, guys, you bring up a great show, and, you know, this guy is a Tennessee Titan fan, so congrats to the Titans. He said Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL across the board. Mancini checked the facts. Well, you know what, Dan, I will tell you this. I like Justin Herbert because I think Justin Herbert is progress. He's a big quarterback there. He's got a better arm, I think. Mahomes, to me, if you stop that Mahomes to Kelsey thing and you figure that out, I think you can kind of harness the Chiefs. And, yeah, the Chiefs have snuck up on some teams in that AFC, but it's gotten wild now, and I don't think they're coming back. And, you know, I made a point a few years ago after they won that one first Super Bowl that we didn't think we'd see them in 5 years, but they kind of snuck in back in there again. The problem there is the AFC West is trying to find themselves. The Raiders haven't been the Raiders. The Broncos have slipped off their prestigious platform that, you know, they had. And the Chargers are, you know, they got an offense. They're shoring up the defense, and they got a coach that, you know, doesn't know what the hell he's doing there in Staley. So that's a big problem. So the Chiefs have pretty much got a green card all the way to winning the division. And then they beat up on teams last year. Look at their schedule last year. They beat up on some of these bottom feeders to get fat. You know, they didn't have to play, you know, the Buffaloes or the Cincinnati's in that playoff. They only got one of them. And they secured the home field. I mean, how crazy is that? If that Buffalo game went off, and, you know, thank God Hamlin was okay, but who knows if Buffalo wouldn't have secured that home field or something, and we'd have another topic talking about Josh Allen and everything, like we talked about with Steve, the Bills guy, last week. So that's what I've got. You know, I don't put much faith in the Chiefs. I'm not a big Andy Reid guy. People could say whatever they want, and I stay consistent across the board, whether it's this show, any other shows, and you know me by now, Danielle. I'll throw my opinion out there, and I'll back it up.
No, I agree. When it comes to Mahomes, you have to remember, right now, the quarterback completion percentage, number one is actually Joe Burrows. Mahomes is number 10. But the thing that I will give Mahomes credit for is Mahomes can throw a ball passes that no one should complete. And yet he does. I mean, some of these slings, you just look at it and you're like, how did he throw that? What happened? But the mystique of Mahomes sometimes gets in people's heads, and that beats people. It's just the mystique of Mahomes. It is what it is. And sometimes that's all you need. You know, he has a certain swagger. It does it. Do I think Mahomes right now is the best out there from a quarterback? Yes, I do think. But I think Burrow is coming up. I think we have to keep an eye on him. The only thing is Burrow is not, he's not mature. He's not there. He's close, but he's not there. Herbert, though, like I said, I do not understand the money he's getting paid, just like I don't understand the money Jones is getting paid, and I'm a Giants fan, and I'll be the first one to say that man does not deserve the amount of money that they wasted on him. But there are certain quarterbacks where I think we're overinflating them monetarily, and we're not giving money where it's due. I would not be paying Justin Herbert that money. You have not done anything. You're not an MVP. What have you done with the Chargers? Yes, you've given them some light, but to get paid more than Lamar Jackson, who's getting paid more than Mahomes? What are you kidding me? What have you done yet, Herbert? Take me to the promised land, and we can have a nice little discussion here, but you haven't done it. Now, maybe Callen, being the offensive coordinator this go-around, will do something with it. But I have not seen it. So I think giving them that amount of money without proving yourself, I think that's a mistake. That's my feeling on it. Chargers fans, sorry. But I think Herbert's got a little more to go. I think he needs a little more time in the oven.
That's well, I will tell you, Aaron Rodgers is working out deals in New York. He took a pay cut. I think the Jets are loaded for bear. I'm telling you right now, and you know I'm not a New York guy. Mm-hmm. Born in Pittsburgh, raised in L.A., but I'm telling you, watch out for these Jets, man. They mean business, and this team is all in. I know a lot of people say we've seen this kind of thing before, but they're bringing in some significant pieces to take this team to battle the Buffaloes and Miami's and New England's in that division, and we're gonna see something here in New York, and you know they'll probably bring in some other guys too. You know, if people can restructure their contract, for that one, you know, thing to signify, hey, focus on winning, like Buffalo and Diggs is saying, then, you know, the sky's the limit here. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I'm all in on the Jets this year.
I think Rodgers restructuring his contract to say, I'm not here for just 1 year, I'm here for at least two, shows that he also knows the chemistry needs to build. So I think that was also his way of saying, I'm not the diva the Packers have made me out to be. I think it shows he's got a huge chip on his shoulder, and it shows his maturity as a quarterback. I mean, you know, we all know his age, but he understands the game. He understands the business. I think he's sticking it to the Packers a little bit to say, oh, this is how you want to treat me. Oh, and now you're going to say you'll retire my number when it's the right time. You know, I think a little bit of it is he wants to show he can win. It's still in him. But I have never seen Aaron Rodgers smile that much on the field. He looks like he's having fun. He looks lean. He looks good. And let's face it, when has Aaron Rodgers been in OTAs? When has he been in camp on time in the last 3 years?
Yeah.
I mean, he looks good. He's got something to prove. I'm in on him. I think he will pull in what he needs, but I think he will also show the leadership that he's not shown the Packers organization. But my thing with Rodgers is I'm kind of looking at him the way, you know, an ex-spouse looks at the mistress. You saw how they treated Favre. Why did you think you were any different? The Pack organization really hasn't shown loyalty before to their quarterbacks. Why did you think this was going to go down any differently for you? When they drafted Jordan Love, you had to watch it on the draft. That's how you found out. Why did you think this was going to be different? Like, they treated Favre like this with you. They did the same thing. Like, just go play ball, prove to everybody you are who you are, and forget everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Just do it. I think the Jets are all in.
Well,
I don't know if they'll be with the
I totally agree with you. Hey, Ben from Peoria, Illinois, chiming in. He says, you know, I've been critical of Justin Fields and the Bears, and watch out, you know, Chase Claypool's got a lot to prove this year, and, you know, the Bears can do some damage. Everybody's looking at the Lions and Vikings, but watch out for the Bears. Come on, Ben. You know, I've said this before. I'm not a Justin Fields guy. I've never been a big Ohio State guy as quarterbacks in the NFL. And when you look at Chase Claypool, you guys sent a second-round pick to Pittsburgh, and this guy has a poor work ethic. You know, if you want to say anything, it's probably the biggest year of his life. He's got to prove himself, man. He's got to get motivated there. When teams like Pittsburgh and New England get rid of you, you've got 1 foot out of the league already, Ben. So if you want to sit here and tell me the Bears are going to do something with Fields and Claypool, I stop smoking something, whatever it is, you know, because the Bears, to me, they're right in the middle of winning six games, possibly maybe another, you know, game, maybe, you know, eight in that crap division, but the Bears ain't going nowhere. This is a far cry from the 85 Bears where they had a, you know, stifling defense, and they, you know, they went in, they lost to Miami for that perfect season. But this Bear team, come on, they haven't done anything in quite a while, and Chase Claypool is not the answer, my friend. Any comment with Ben and Peoria, Danielle, because I'm not on the Bears wagon at all.
I think the Bears could do a little more. I'm not sold on the Vikings. Look, Justin Jefferson, that's one thing. Justin, I think, is JJ's a phenomenal wide receiver. I am still not sold on the Vikings. I think the Bears could do more and they could at least split it and go with a 50-50 season over the Vikings. I think the Vikings are putting too much on the wide receiver. And I look at Kirk Cousins, and I just look at him and go, I still don't get you. And I've watched the quarterback show, and I still look at him and go, I don't see what the deal is with you. But I think the Bears, I think there could be more there. I don't feel – I wonder with him. But then sometimes I see these moments where I'm like, the kid wants it. It's not that he doesn't want it. I just don't know if the pieces around him are the fit. I feel like they're trying to make him fit into their system rather than build the system around Fields. But I wouldn't write the Bears off that quick. Do I think the Lions are in a better position? 100%. But I'm not sure the Vikings are the number two, because I just look at the Vikings and I still, you know, I'm just not I'm not sold on them. I find moments of greatness, and then I'm still like, what were we thinking? It's just a flash, and it's gone, and I just don't think Kirk Cousins is the one to really lead it.
Well, and I like with Kirk Cousins there, I think he's worth a few wins in more ways than one. You got now the best quarterback in that division. And I like – listen, a lot of people forget about Kirk Cousins in Washington, and they haven't had a quarterback in Washington since Kirk Cousins left. Let me tell you that. It's been a lot of lean years. Yeah, Heineke was great and gave him a little spark there and all this, but the guy that was there that was very consistent across the board was Kirk Cousins. So, you know, was he a Joe Theismann? No. Was he a Mark Rippon? Yeah, maybe, you know, in some ways. But, you know, when I look at a guy that was consistent, he gave the Redskins a chance. He gives the Vikings a chance. Wherever he goes, he gives the team a chance. I think the thing that saddles him is his contract, and people look at that and they expect more, like they're going to look at Herbert now formerly the Chargers into the L.A. Chargers, but they're going to expect more out of him. But a quarterback can only do so much. You got to have the receivers. You got to have everybody in place there. So they were kind of banged up at but when I look at Cousins, as long as he's there, the Vikings are going to be prominent. I still think the Vikings can win the division. I'm not sold on the Lions. I know they made a, teams that come in hot at the end of the year, you can't sustain that during the off season, sitting around for 6-7 months, and then all of a sudden say, well, we got hot last year, here we go again. You know, you got to go through the grueling training camps and stuff like that. So I'm not sold on the Lions, when you now become the hunted instead of the hunter, we'll find out what the Lions are, because now they're the hunted, they're not the hunter no more.
Okay.
So now we're going to look at what they are, but the Vikings, I think they're sitting back and they're playing on house money saying, nobody's picking us. We'll just go out there and show them. And, they've been very consistent last year and the years Cousins has been there. So I like the Vikings in the division. And, I don't know who you like in the division, but the Bears are definitely coming in dead last along with the Packers.
I think the Bears are better than the Packers. The Vikings, to me, I just don't see the consistency I need out of the defense. I think the Lions, Dan Campbell sells me on the Lions more than anything. I think they've made some nice moves in the draft. I think they've put some good pieces around it. Goff, is he my favorite quarterback? No. But when he's hot, he is hot. And I still think there's enough in him. So I'd like to – I don't think the Lions can be discounted. I think they have good leadership in Campbell. So I think the Lions will be somebody that we have to keep our eye on. I think they're still going to – if they don't take the division, I think they're a wild card contender that we all have to keep our eyes on. The Packers are coming in dead last. I'm sorry, Packer fans. It is what it is. You're going to have a hangover from Rodgers leaving. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. So
I totally agree with you.
I see the Lions in first. That's what I see.
Well, the thing with Jared Goff,
and,
I mean, the problem. Here's the thing I have with Jared Goff. He's a deer in headlights. Yeah, he'll have a good year. He was in L.A. He could have probably won a Super Bowl. New England stifled him. But the problem is, he's got happy feet. He kind of reminds me of, Jim Everett. He's a journeyman type of guy. I would take Garoppolo over Goff, believe it or not. If Garoppolo can stay healthy, I think Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Goff. And that's the problem. You just with Goff, you never know what you're going to get. You might get a couple 300-yard games, but then you might get a couple games where he's throwing four interceptions too. So I think that's the thing you got to look at there.
I think Goff's mechanics have gotten much better. But, yes, Goff's problem can be his confidence. If that first drive does not have at least the first down, it's in his head. He has too long-term of a memory for a quarterback. You need a short-term memory. You have to. It can get in his head too quickly. And part of that came because, believe it or not, and some people are going to argue this with me, success came too fast for Goff. And I think he thought it was going to be easy moving forward. And that played with him a little bit. But I just don't discount him too quickly. I'm just happy Garoppolo's playing and the Raiders actually have a quarterback at this point. I'm just kind of happy. I'm like, oh, great, Raiders have a quarterback. You know, that's where I'm at. And then, you know, we'll go from there. But at this point, there's been so many weird things that have happened in the sense that Jimmy Graham is coming back. I mean, who thought that was going to happen? New Orleans Saints have brought him back to a one-year contract. Now, the last time he played was 2021. For the Bears. Now, New Orleans originally drafted him in the third round of the 2010 draft, and he was great with Sean Payton, which I'm kind of surprised that he didn't wind up going to the Broncos and reuniting with Payton, but that's a whole other thing. He played five seasons with Drew Brees, and he put up over 4,700 yards on 386 catches, 51 touchdowns. He, you know, at one point led the NFL in receiving yards. In 2013, he earned three Pro Bowls and one first-team All-Pro nod in New Orleans. So, I mean, but at 36 years old and not playing, how much is this veteran, you know, tight end? What has he got left? I mean, and why is he coming back now? I just have to – I don't know, Mark. I just got a question. Jimmy Graham wanting back in right now with New Orleans – why wouldn't you go to the Broncos, be reunited with Sean Payton, who originally brought you in? So, and not that I didn't think Graham was a phenomenal tight end. He was. I thought Graham was, I really did. I thought he was great. But why now? Why are you coming back now for the one-year contract? You know, are you coming back to maybe finally retire as a Saint since you left as a Bear? I don't know. I just think it's a weird, for me, it just seems like it's a weird thing. I don't know if, you know, they wanted him back just to kind of confuse things and give Carr another weapon. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you bring an interesting thing. Maybe he wants to just retire the Saint. You know, that might be the thing. But, you know, that division, you bring up an interesting one. I know we're down to the last few minutes of this show, and I can't wait to tackle this division next week if you want, because I think it's going to be a two-headed monster. With New Orleans and Atlanta, I think Tampa might slip a little there, but they could be in it. I don't think much of Carolina, but I really want to get into this division because I think it's Atlanta's to lose. I really do. I think Atlanta's loaded up. They've got all the pieces, and when you're not really counting on the Falcons to do something, that's when they actually do something. We saw a few years ago how getting into the Super Bowl, so keep your eyes on that. Yeah, New Orleans with Graham, that's going to be interesting. They've got some targets down there, so, you know, that'll be the thing. You just got to keep those guys off of Bourbon Street, I guess, in Vegas. They like to party too much in New Orleans, so that could be the thing there.
I think it's just I'm not sure. If you haven't played in 2 years, coming back now seems like a very odd, it's a weird mix to me. But you know what? Let's see what he does. Let's see what he does. But then again, we said that about Gronk. Granted, Gronk is Gronk. I think it's, you know, and he's coming back for Brady. You can't equate Derek Carr and Brady. You know, that's two very different things. But I'm just wondering why coming back with this coach, not going to Peyton. You know, I'm questioning it a little bit.
No, you bring
but, you
up
know
an
what?
Interesting
Maybe
point.
Maybe we're wrong.
Yeah, no. Wow, what a show today as we start to wind this down. I know you're in Raleigh. I can't wait to do this again next Wednesday. And then also we're talking about you might be doing a podcast with one of your good friends. We'll get that out to the listeners as well. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know you're 2 hours away in Raleigh there. Try to get some shade and some cool drinks.
Yep, anybody can hit me up on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, or like I said, if you're in the Raleigh area and you're looking for something fun to do this weekend, you can come down and see me at the Raleigh Convention Center. I will be at GalaxyCon this weekend, starting actually tomorrow through Sunday. It's a big comic book convention. There's celebrities here. There's a bunch of stuff going on, panels, cosplay stuff, all this great things going on, but you can stop at the pop-up bookshop, which is inside GalaxyCon, and I will be there with a bunch of other authors actually signing our books, talking to people. I will be in cosplay on Friday and Saturday. So if you want to come by, get your picture taken, sign a book, whatever you want, or just talk football. Because like I said, there's so much stuff we didn't even get to talk about today. We can do that. So come by and see me. And then Mark will do this all over again next week. We're with camp in full swing. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I'll wear that Redskin cap and cowboy camp when I go in there. That should make me a real good.
Oh, they'll love it.
Yeah, they'll definitely love. They'll welcome me with open arms. For Danielle Orsino, my sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink. I love her dearly out there. She's in Raleigh. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version. Tell all your friends. Make this the number one show in football, Moving the Chains podcast. Get blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Have a blessed one, and thanks for tuning in.